and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, in the back that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Okay, folks, we're back with the second hour of the National Intel Report, and we're recanting stories from Texas. It sounds like the land of Blinken and Nod here. Rhett Peace last hour, you missed it, folks. If you were tuned someplace else and you missed it, well, then you missed it. I would invite you to go to the archives and listen to the entire show. But we got Desi Andrews, her son Rhett Peace, and Dan Abood here that... Well, okay, so let me get this straight here. Where were you at when this incident took place? Was this at your place of business?
Yes.
Okay, so you're driving in.
The car was already parked there.
Okay, the car is parked there. You got two wackos that come in there, park behind it?
Yeah.
Okay, and then call into the police that they're being assaulted.
Right.
Okay, and at this point in time, the police show up.
Well, this was all prearranged. There were... two cop cars pull in with three officers, and then the detectives soon followed.
Immediately, almost.
Immediately, yes.
Yes, and these are all Cedar Park folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all chit-chatting with the people in the convertible as if they were all buddies, and, you know, you could hear... over the top of everything else that was going on, kind of, what, you know, a little snippets of things. Obviously, they'd been talking before. They'd been at their office. If they could find the car, then they were going to do some sort of paperwork. So they kept promising us there was going to be paperwork to prove that they had the right to take that car, because we kept asking them, where's your proof? Because all we had was a money judgment against the company that... which had been paid in full. And
well, so this car was the crux of a lawsuit. However, when they came in to sue to get the car back, they said the car that's in the lease. Now, you've seen a copy of the lease.
Right.
All it says is a rental unit. It doesn't have anything in it about
a
car.
No VIN numbers, no plate numbers. Doesn't even identify it as being a car.
So he put paperwork in that said, gee, I'll give whatever back to you as soon as you show me what it is you're talking about.
Okay, I'm a little fuzzy on the issue here of how this whole thing got started. Now, why were they after your car, though? That's what I want to find out.
Because he had fallen on bad times and was behind in the payments on it.
But I had to
offer. That he offered them $30,000 for the car, which is what it was worth.
Okay.
He offered to pay it in total.
Okay.
And they refused the offer, and instead they sued him. So he went and defended the suit.
Right. Okay.
And so they were suing for a rental unit that didn't exist. So they couldn't sue it for the Mercedes. So the judge finally struck all his paperwork and told him to shut up because it was in the name of a corporation, and he had to have an attorney, and Dan was an attorney, and he stood up and said, I can't see you. I can't hear you during the trial.
Wait a minute. He was in the corporate court.
Yes. I'm in the corporate court. I'm standing there, you know, and I'm trying to... speak to the judge on the issues at hand, and I think he'd finally had enough of me, and he stood up and he's waving across, and he's looking like he's looking all over in the courtroom, and he says, I can't hear you, I can't see you.
Well, let me climb up on your bench, Your Honor, yell in your ear and see if you can hear me now. Can you hear me now? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll take your phone calls at 800-313-9443. We'll get on with a little bit more of this insanity, not of our own making, right after this.
Hi, my name is Don Wiskin. You may have heard me talk about how I got my life back after a heart attack. Since then, I have shared Cartivite, a garlic and cayenne mixture, with many others. Listen to what some people have to say.
Like, I couldn't walk from my yard to go up to the corner. That's not even a half a kilometer. And I'd get about halfway there and I have to go back because my legs were getting too sore already. Now I walk there and I walk to the other end of the road and I come back and my legs still aren't sore.
I've taken stuff. I got a whole window built here, but I wasn't on that thing a week. And I could just, you just know sometimes you sit with your legs crossed and your foot goes to sleep, and then you can feel it coming back. Well, that's just how this thing is operating. I can feel the feeling coming back in my feet.
To join the thousands already benefiting from Cartivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit Cartivite.us for more information.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanols, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calbend Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calbend Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbendPureSoap.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Oh, gosh. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do here. We'll get through the highlights of this one because, folks, as a talk show host, it's hard to make sense out of something that makes no sense at all.
You got to live through it, John.
I've been in the hands of the APD. Never in Round Rock Police, though. They have a tendency to just to, I don't know. Maybe they like me, maybe they hate me, or maybe they think I'm too much trouble and they just don't want to deal with me. But, you know, I will say this about Round Rock PD. On property issues, any time that you call them, man, they're Johnny on the spot.
Well, that's good because they could use them someplace else.
Yeah, that doesn't work in Cedar Park.
No?
No, and my brother was on the phone trying to get the sheriff down there. He said there's criminal trespassing going on. He's demanded these people leave. He's demanded that the Cedar Park police remove these people from his property, and they won't do it. They would not do anything. They wouldn't listen to anything we had to say. They wouldn't even look at my paperwork that showed that my car was that there was no car, that the judgment was settled in full, and I had signed receipts that it had been delivered to the judges or the lawyer's office up in Dallas.
So as far as you're concerned, you're clear. That's your car. Even though you had a little bit of trouble, but you've made arrangements. You paid the thing off.
Yes.
You've got receipts. Did you have title to this car at this point?
Well, the title's always been in the company name.
Okay. All right, but it's your company.
Right.
Right, and did you have a title? A certificate of title?
Yes. He had one to show him, yes.
And so you showed him all this.
They wouldn't look at they wouldn't come anywhere near me when I was holding the paper.
This is their own damn paperwork.
They won't look at it. They don't want to even come near it. I mean, they're afraid of it.
Yeah. They just said, we're taking the car. And, oh.
And you can't do anything about it.
And Jana McComb over the at the county attorney's office is working on the paperwork now. That's what they told him. Of course, when they called on another phone, she wasn't available or she wasn't in that day. But the police kept telling the people on the scene that the county attorney was working on the paperwork. What's a county attorney doing working on paperwork in a civil suit? I mean, first of all, it was paid for. This money judgment was paid for. They never got that car in that judgment at all. And they never could. They have to go back and say that we can't collect the money, so we have to take property before they can do anything. They didn't do that. They flat stole his car, hauled him off to jail on another bogus issue so that they could get away with. Would not pass press criminal trespass charges that were issued by the owner of the property. And the reason it couldn't be treated as criminal trespass was because the gate was open, therefore it was not private.
And Craig, my brother, was there as well, too, and they did want to write him up for disorderly conduct.
Even though the tow truck driver had physically assaulted my brother, who now has bruises on his arms and his shins from where the guy sucker punched him in the kidneys and slammed him up against the car because
he was trying to get Dan's personal property out.
Yeah, I had phones in there, I had wallet in there, keys,
all his keys. He's had to rekey
remotes
everything.
For everything. So everything's it's cost me a fortune to have everything redone.
Where is this car now?
God only knows.
Cedar Park police don't know anything about it. They were aided and abetted in the theft of it. They have no idea.
They don't know where this car is.
Don't know who took it.
You don't know who these two complaining witnesses were.
Don't know who the tow truck operator was.
Don't know who the operator of the tow truck or the tow truck company is.
There's an old saying, ignorance is bliss. They're in a blissful state.
Well, not for long.
It's plausible deniability.
No, I don't think so.
We have an awful lot of witnesses.
It's implausible deniability.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So when the court suit comes, and it will come, then they're going to have to show what it is that they used to steal Dan's car from him.
So you had title to this car that would have shown that there were no liens on this car, and your company's name was on the certificate of title.
Uh-huh.
But they still stole it anyhow.
Yeah. Well, they were making up the paperwork, weren't they?
I got to ask you this, Dan. What have you been up to, and who have you really made mad?
Well, I'm really pissed off a judge up in
Williamson.
Because I recused him once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've had prior dealings.
All on the same issue.
No, all in the same issue.
This has been going on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't want to be the person that ends up with this car. This car is cursed. Maybe it's a good thing that you got rid of it, but...
Oh, no. No, this has become a cause in itself.
Yeah, because they couldn't do it.
Well, no, let's not say that.
No. Legally, they couldn't do it. Yeah.
What the point is, they're doing whatever they want to do. I'll tell you what. Let's go to the phones. I was just going to say that. I need a break here. My eyes are hurting. Jeff in Texas. Thanks for holding, Jeff.
Well, Dan, you might want to check and see what kind of car that judge is driving now.
Yeah, there you go.
You might have a nice Mercedes now.
Good thinking, Jeff.
Well, you know what I should do to him is the same thing they did to me. They called in and told the Mercedes Navstar system that the car had been stolen. So the Austin police stopped us one day and said this car was stolen. And I said, well, it most certainly is not. It's my car. And I showed him, and I happened to have the stack of paperwork with me, and I said, you want to see what's been going on with this car?
Oh, so you have a satellite system in the car in that computer, it showed that car came up stolen.
Well, somebody.
Yeah, even if you don't have it activated, those things will work. And what I was calling in about is now they want to have these inspection stickers /
transponders
stickers that have the RFID tags in them.
We were just talking about that during the break.
Right. Yeah, some brain trust in the legislature has proposed that. Well, but it will be nationwide. I mean, it doesn't just happen here.
But unfortunately, if you've already got navigation in your car, that all that stuff's built in, and they know where that car is at all times.
Well, it's better than slapping a GPS unit on it. It's already built in.
It is a GPS.
Yeah, it is a GPS.
That is what it is.
So there's a reason right there not to
get I was talking about the portable ones. Before they come out with OnStar and these Navstars and all these other things, what they used to do, if they wanted to track you, they physically had to attach a GPS unit to your car to find out where to head.
That's old school.
Old school, man.
Now it's built in the chassis with those things.
Well, man, now it's just easy.
Yeah. I guess I got your thoughts on that, so I appreciate it. And, Rhett, if you're still to call me.
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. While he brought this up, I want to read this. A Texas bill would require transponders in all cars. A bill introduced in the Texas House of Representatives by Larry Phillips. And I'm urging people that are listening to me and any other state, you better start paying attention because we seem to be the model for a lot of different things down here in Texas.
This stuff comes out of Chicago, so it's going on everywhere. It doesn't just come to here.
They have a standards place in Chicago that they all get together and
bless their little Chi-Town hearts. Okay, Vice Chairman Larry Phillips, Vice Chairman of the Transportation Committee, would require electronic transponders to be built into state automobile inspection stickers. This new device would be initially used to allow roadside verifications of every passing vehicle's insurance information. A car with expired insurance information would be mailed a $250 ticket.
Well, let the car pay it.
Well, the state owns the car, too. I don't understand how
Well, good, then the state can pay it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too.
They just give me the free use of enjoyment. I got to pay for the
thing,
but they own it.
Just pass it on to the comptroller when you get it in the mail.
Well, hey, that's simple to me. Just forward the ticket. Each transponder would transmit the vehicle's VIN, insurance policy number, license plate number, and any other information that DMV requires. That's right. If you're on a no-drive list, for instance, maybe you're a suspected terrorist, or what's the word they're coming out now? A person of interest. legislation creates a database. Yeah, person of interest.
Oh.
Database of every Texas automobile insurance policy to allow the checks. The transponder would also operate with Texas toll roads. Oh, it's a twofer. anyone who does not receive or respond to the mail ticket would have his license and vehicle registration suspended.
Well, what are they going to do about the Financial Responsibility Act? Because see, insurance is not necessary for anybody. You have to show that you can. It's a Financial Responsibility Act.
And if you they do say that if you file a bond with DPS, then that's insurance.
You're right, and doesn't have that little thing in it.
Well, I'm sure if your little car doesn't beep 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 at them, you're going to be a person of interest, and they're going to go through your car with a fine tooth comb. Oh my goodness. 800-313-9443. Want to join us on air again? Any questions about anything we've talked about, or you have something of interest that you want to bring up yourself?
Oh goodness! Did we make them silent out there in radio land?
We stupefied them.
Oh,
come on!
Put them to sleep, or so confounded and confused them that they don't know what to say.
This is the part where we like to take your calls.
Yeah, but okay. Now let's get around to the solution part because, well, I have a short solution to this, but it's one that's frowned upon.
And you can't say that on the air.
And I cannot say that on the air. Now, it almost seems, guys, that this is the point at which they're pushing us to. And you know, I mean, in Rex's case, I mean, one stupid judicial error after another. But it didn't stop them. I mean, between two guys here, you said that house was worth, what, $115,000, and your Mercedes was worth $30,000. So between two people sitting in the studio right now, the state confiscated $145,000 of real property.
And then a $35,000 van that I had, and then...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even include your van.
All of the personal property they took and all of the other stuff.
Yeah, and I had a lot of personal property in that car. They would not. My brother even tried to get it out, and that's when the tow truck driver attacked him.
And you know, it says in the book that's absolutely illegal.
Yeah.
The attack and the hauling of personal property.
Yeah, at that point, they should have demanded that those people leave the property because there was a breach of the peace, and the tow truck driver and anyone else on the property should have been escorted off by the police.
In handcuffs.
In handcuffs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was the only one that left in handcuffs.
Right.
And Cray, well, that's because Cray slipped out the back door.
No, they didn't have a pair big enough to put on a Mercedes, because that's what they were really after, was the property. They just wanted you to stand by and be silent and let them do their judicial tyranny stuff. All right, we'll take the break. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. And, I don't know where to go from here, folks.
Let's start those calls.
Yeah, John, Jim, Bill, and others, hang on. We'll get to all your calls right after this.
We need to...
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aranair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Folks, if somebody were to ask me that never heard any of this that we're talking about today, and somebody asked me to describe the topic, I don't even know what I would call this. I mean, this is so...
It's called the Judge Roy Bean Show.
My God. Well, Judge Roy Bean, he had his own sense of fair play, at
no,
least.
He didn't. It was the law west of the Pecos. I mean,
it was his idea, but everybody knew the guy was out of the box. And,
right.
But these guys are walking around in their judicial garb and their pomp and ceremony.
And their badges on their chest.
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's all pomp and ceremony. There's no rule of law here anymore. It's a show they put on.
And it's because they're not accountable. They just get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Well, and folks, we talk about the corporate setup. We talk about the corporate courts and whose interests they're protecting and everybody. I mean, we're seeing, folks, I mean, here's a flash for you. If you're not feeling this coming at you right now, you have the President of the United States talking about privatizing a Social Security fund, which the government shouldn't be in the retirement business anyhow. Down here, they're talking about privatizing and turning roads over to private corporations so they can charge you for driving on it. And many of the roads have already been paid for the people of Texas here with their own taxes to begin with. And in the state legislature, I've just been getting word lately here, and I'm going to start delving into this. The state of Texas here is going to be privatizing the Child Protective Services and other heretofore state functions. And these are all going to be privatized. Here is a
those aren't state functions. Those are federal functions.
And the prisons have already been privatized.
Yeah, so everything is going private because they have to sell off their resources because they owe their masters. And it's a desperation to get them paid.
Now,
the thing is that people have to understand that you were talking about smoke and mirrors. The thing is, people have to understand that these people that are doing this have absolutely zero authority to be doing it.
But they're doing it.
But we stand by and allow them to do it.
That's their authority. You standing by allows them to do it.
Right. Well, you think they can put in toll roads.
All right. But what was Dan supposed to do as they were stealing his property?
He goes back and he sues him and he makes it so serious to Cedar Park. He takes him to Washington, D.C. It costs him $25,000 to hire an attorney to go there.
I want a proviso in this case, that the judge has to show up once a month to wash and wax the car.
Well,
that'll be his community service.
Well, that's another thing you can do. I mean, if they haul you in for something, you can issue a subpoena ducis tecum for whoever. Like if you're in a traffic ticket, you can issue a subpoena. You can go down to the clerk's office and get a subpoena and subpoena the officer or the witnesses or whoever every single time you go to court. They have to come to court.
And then when he's not waxing and washing my Mercedes that they stole illegally, I'd be making the judge, since it is a Mercedes, I'd make him my chauffeur. He's got to be there every day for
him.
Me. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. They're loaded up. John in Florida. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Jesse, earlier you were talking about appearance of justice and the ends of court.
Right.
How do you make contact with the ends of court? Do you have an address?
What you can do is you get on Google and put in ends of court. It's INNS of court. And you can look up, once you get on there, look up the Bar Council.
The Bar Council. I've been on there, and I could not find it. I found, you know, bed and breakfasts and inns and all kinds of things in London, but I did not find anything with the bar.
Isn't it Inns of the Court?
Yeah.
It's Inns of Court.
Yeah. Oh, Inns of Court. But it comes up, the four courts. I was on there just a minute ago.
Okay. The four courts.
Yeah. It's got the four inns.
You've got Lincoln's Inn, Gray's Inn, the Inner Court, and
Travelodge Inn.
And which one do I pull? Which one do I go for?
You want to go to, just a second, I'm trying to call it up here, the Inns of Court. And what you're looking for is when you go, now when I call up Google, if you'll go down about four down, it says the Bar Council.
Okay.
And it says there are four Inns of Court, Gray's Inn, Lincoln's Inn, the Inner Temple, and the Middle Temple. When I was looking at judicialwatch.org the other day, if you'll go and look and see you can see all of the different places that the judges, what they're members of, and their financial background. And there's only one judge in this whole country that is a member of the Inner Temple, and that's Rehnquist. And so that's where he gets his power to give the power out to the 50.
Yeah, I just pulled it up, John.
Okay.
The Inns of Court in London are where barristers train and practice several centuries ago. The Inns of the Court were any of the fair number of public houses where barristers met to do business.
Okay, and there's an address there.
It says complaints over there on the left-hand side.
Okay, complaints.
I'll have by next Thursday. I have the address at home, but it took me a long time to find it.
Okay, well, see, that's what I need to do because, heard your nightmare situations, and my nightmare situation is book-worthy. Let me put it that way.
I think there are a lot of books that should be written out there, John.
If you go to IOFSA at earthlink.net, I can give you I can email you the copy of the address, and I'll post it on my website at petitionforpeace.net.
Okay. Will do. I've got so many things I could tell you, but one thing we've learned here in Florida, we do have a case where we've got a kind of a win, and that is in a case called Jennings, J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S, versus Hood. And the case site on that is 1D04-1256.
And that's John?
Yes.
Oh, and what kind of a wind did wasn't I wasn't aware
okay,
of
it.
Oh, hang on 1 second. We're up against the break. I'll bring you back on the other side, John.
Okay.
You know, apparently what we've got here going on between the people and the court system,
what we have here is a failure to communicate.
we'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RVN network.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Coming back, guys. All right. We do have the address. Rhett, do you want to give the address for this?
Yeah, the address, it's the General Counsel of the Bar at 289 to 293 High Holborn Street. That's H-O-L-B-O-R-N in London. And the zip code is WC1V7HZ.
One more time.
289 to 293 High Holborn, H-O-L-B-O-R-N, in London. That's WC1V7HZ.
And that's the general counsel?
That's the general counsel of the bar.
And now I strongly urge you, please, if you're going to start sending complaints to the bar, please send them by all means. But please make them, don't rant.
And make sure you include the bar number of your folks you're going to complain against.
Yeah. John, about John Jennings' case.
Yes. That case here is, again, I'll give the case site, Jennings versus Hood, 1D04-1256, and then that's Florida App 1 District 2005.
What happened?
Okay, in that case, he got a ruling in the trial court, and the appeal court affirmed that, did a per curiam affirm. And that was one where they said they do not have the authority to tell him that he is not a U.S. citizen or that he is a U.S. citizen either way.
Right. The case was that he wanted them to declare that he was a Florida state citizen.
Right, and also the whole thing rested around the first question on the voter registration form being, are you a U.S. citizen? And if you're not a U.S. citizen, you cannot vote.
Right.
Well, what that does in all 50 states, because that question exists in all 50 states, is it creates political genocide and kills all the real people off and
exactly.
makes you a subject to the United States, which is a federal corporation.
Exactly.
According to, what is it, Title 28, Section 3002? Or 1332, I can't remember which one is which. But in any case, the voter registration form was what he was attacking. He was saying, look, that there is no proper voter registration form for sovereign people because that first question should not be on the form. It should say, are you a Florida state citizen?
Right. You're supposedly voting a state election, not a federal election, but
right.
that's just not true.
When you get magistrated in jail, too, that's a question they ask you. They asked me if I was a U.S. citizen, and I said no. And they said, would you like me to contact your consulate? And I said, I don't think you could find it.
you can see the problem, though, that if there is no legitimate government because no one is there because there can't be anybody that votes for them.
Yeah, but everything
there
is...
There are no people.
Everything's by agreement and by contract.
Okay, well, but there are no people. That was another thing that was agreed to.
No,
okay, that was a stipulation that under Florida Statute 1.01, the Attorney General agreed that the word people and the word citizen does not appear under the definition of person.
Right.
So as soon
person.
As you are a person, you are now subject to the corporation.
Right, because you're considered a corporation, trust, business, individual.
So that's
which,
a very key thing. That
right.
you're never, if they ever ask you a question saying, are you a person who does this or a person who does that, always say,
no person here.
I am a people.
And if you look in Anderson's Law Dictionary in the judicial definitions, if you look up Attorney General, it's the King's Counsel.
Yes.
And so,
makes sense.
So we're all back to London again.
Yep, here we are, back to Lynn.
Yes,
all right.
Thanks for your call, John.
Has there been anybody removed from the bench as a result of the complaint?
Yes.
I don't know if anybody from the bench.
I'll listen in here and listen on the radio.
Okay,
all right,
I know that attorneys have their bar cards have been yanked.
But attorneys are one thing. The problem
I don't know that anybody's done it to a judge, John.
No, Cray, I'm sorry, you said
whoever.
Yes.
I say that, well, see, first off, they have to hold a bar card in order to be a judge. And I know that they've taken their bar cards away. And see, if their bar cards are removed, depending on, I mean, it doesn't make any difference what their position is, that they can no longer practice their attorney.
They
practice
can't practice
law.
In those playpens anymore.
Well, and this is what the American Inns of Court, this is what it says on their own website, and you mentioned this, American Inns of Court are designed to improve the skills, professionalism, and ethics of the bench and bar. An American Inns of Court is an amalgam of judges, lawyers, and in some cases law professors and law students. Each inn meets approximately 1 month, both to break bread and to hold programs and discussions on matters of ethics, skills, and professionalism. Now, this is what they say they're not. The American Inn of Court is not a fraternal order, not a social club, even though they just get together and break bread. A course in continuing legal education, a lecture series, an apprenticeship system, or an adjunct of law school's program, which the AIC partakes of some of each of these concepts, it is quite different in aim, scope, and effect.
Does it say on there that they learn how to launder money?
No.
Two of the top.
No, that's in the system. No, that's in the description. This is what they don't do.
Two of the. If you go to their trustee committee on the American Inns of Court, one of the trustees is Louis Free, And he's the top legal counselor for MBNA, and they also have the top legal counsel for American Express. And it seems that for some reason the credit cards and these guys all tie together.
Well, now, why do you think they would want that? It's the banksters again, buddy. It's the banksters. Jim in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Desi, we got a common friend. I work on Renee's machine to keep the micro up.
Oh, okay.
I also know Dominic and Hank and all of them.
All right.
My wife commented with this, or chimed in with a comment while I was on the phone on hold. It was government by the people for the people, but now that you're a person, you're not part of the government. That's why they're establishing that.
Well, there is no government. Yeah. Because John in Florida is right. There are no people.
By the way, Jim, in Texas here, do you ever tune into National Public Radio and hear any of this kind of stuff?
I don't tune into anything but RBN.
Oh, all right.
Bless your heart. All right.
7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, you can stay on the air.
Okay. You bought yourself 30 more seconds. Go ahead.
Anyway, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, I had a question to ask, and I also wanted to make a comment. The title for this could just be simply Screwed, Blued, and Tattooed.
Pretty much.
That would have been more fun.
Are. You can't go to the judge, and the judicial is the last branch, and they've stripped us of that branch, so now it's just a hoax. But my question was, for the transponder, and I don't know if you're going to have the answer to this or not, but if you have your MSO and don't have to have a registration, can they still force this one down your throat if they pass it?
I don't believe they can. Well, first of all, the people have to stand up and allow something like that to be passed. That's absolutely draconian. Are you going to tell them what to do, or are they going to tell you what to do?
Well, the problem is they're not going to allow us to vote on it in the first place. It's going to be another taxation without representation, and they're going to stick it down our throats.
Well, and then what are the people going to do about it?
Let's not buy new cars.
A bunch of limp noodles. They're not going to do anything.
Well, those of us that do, what are they going to do to us? There's no law against this.
Well, what are they doing to you and your son already for standing up against
this? Oh, what the heck?
It's funny. Hey, no, you got to understand
another
something.
Day in prison.
I have no problem with fighting. I'm just saying that.
No, it's fun to these people. You got to understand something. If they weren't doing this, the blood would stop flowing in their bodies.
No, there's nothing fun about this, but we are committed to bring peace to this country. We are committed to people educated. I mean, it's the only solution. I have grandchildren. I want them to live in a free society.
I have a 6-month-old baby girl, and I don't want her to live in this communist proletariat.
Well, don't use her Social Security card and revoke it and get rid of the birth certificate.
We're in the process of that. I'm doing the research right now to do a dissolution on our marriage so that we're common law married, since this glorious state of Texas actually recognizes
it. Yeah, just write your name in the Bible. You're married.
Yep. Right. Well, what Bible? Most of those are trash.
Excuse me. Sorry I brought that up.
Okay, now we got on to the Bible subject.
Well, just to bring that up for a second.
Yeah.
I have a site called PurposeDrivenDeath.com. It's not finished. The guy who was going to be my designer, he wussed out. He won't go on the radio with his story. He won't do the design work. So I'm doing it in my spare time. But it's specifically against the church growth movement and Rick Warren, Robert Schuller, Billy Hibble, any of the 33rd degree Masons that are teaching people to
Don't forget my favorite Yoda, Pat Robertson.
Falwell, Billy Grant, all of them. I mean, they're all just money grubbing.
Oh, and they're towing the corporate line, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. 501c3, right there. That's the separation of church and state that even Yeshua didn't want us to have.
That's right. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
Thank you, Jim. By the way, you're right, Rhett. I'm sitting here looking at the ends of the American Inns of Court, and now I did not know. They've got, of course, they've got Chief Judge, U.S. Court of Appeals, Seventh Court, Joel Flom, and they have Honorable Louis J. Freya, MBNA American Bank. What title was bestowed on him for being honorable anything? He was the head of the FBI.
He's an attorney.
He
was also a district court judge prior to being the head of the FBI.
Always keep the honorable.
Oh.
Once honorable, always honorable.
So there was never any problem when it came down to how to stick it to people between the Department of Justice and the FBI, because they had a guy in there that was a judge.
Absolutely.
Hey, I like this. Mike in North Dakota. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Jesse. I'd like to know, how do I challenge a court order, because they're saying I have to be psych-evaluated because I want to challenge and have a trial by jury? It's the same old driver license infraction. They refused to give me a driver's license. I avoided an accident, got picked up on radar, and I've been doing this since last November. And lately, I called the legislature and asked for a bill of impeachment against the judge and also the state's attorney, and that's your legal right, too.
Yeah, that's your legal right to start where I've been. You're going to go down the same road I went down.
So where do we challenge a court order, or how do we go about getting it thrown into an upper court?
What do they want from you?
Well, they say I have to be psych evaluated because technically they got to make sure I'm competent.
No, I know that, but if you didn't go to jury trial, what is it they want from you?
That's a good question. I've been asking them.
I mean, do they say that you owe us a fine?
No. You see, the thing is when they asked how do you plead, I says I don't plead. Okay, and then he says jurisdictional determination, not guilty, which is fine, but at the same time, I was being pulled out of court for contempt of court. Then he was Mirandizing him, and unfortunately, I didn't appeal on his judicial determination.
Well, I think this is a very dangerous game to play because, you know, the last one that called in, Jim, works on Renee's computer, and she has tried to fight the system, and she and her son are paying a terrible, terrible, terrible price. You have no idea. So I think the thing you have to learn to do is to get out of the court. Ask him if you pled, no contest, how much it would cost, and then give him a promissory note and be gone.
Just plead no contest and a promissory note and get out of there.
That's right. Well, don't give it to him in court. Ask him, plead no contest.
Well, they're not letting you plead that. They either say guilty or not guilty.
Well, no, they have to let you plead no contest.
Nolo contendere, nothing
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, they don't do that. They only give you a piece of paper that says guilty or not guilty.
Well, then, for heaven's sakes.
And I said, I'm not going to do this. This is there. You can plead other ways. You can plead mute, too.
Well, you can plead lots of things. Say, hey, get out of their court. Plead guilty and pay them with a promissory note.
Well, then I got a question for you. How are you guys running around with the registration, insurance, and no licenses or no driver's license? How are you doing?
Very carefully.
We're very, very careful.
And I had all those things, and it didn't do me anything.
It didn't matter. He even had the certificate of title, and they wouldn't even look at it.
Right.
Well,
so
certificate of title, you have to have manufacturer warranty, right?
Well, if you want to proclaim that property is yours and not the state's for use of collateral, then you get the manufacturer's warranty or the certificate.
MSO.
Yeah, the MSO.
Certificate of origin.
That way, if you want to get down the road of no inspection stickers and no license plates and do all that stuff.
Well, or you can turn it in like Russell's done and get a salvage, have it declared salvage, and then you can drive it anywhere because it's not it becomes an automobile instead of a vehicle.
See the problem I always had with this, Mike, is that when we're opting out of their system, and whether we're talking about dissolution of the state marriage grant, you know, the marriage license,
correct,
or the registration of your child or the registration of your car, whatever the case may be, the problem is that we then become a non-entity to them. We are nothing. We are not in their system. They will not recognize us.
Yeah, but I don't think you can ever get out of their system. Yeah. Once they've got
But it's like Craig got stopped the other night after the Cedar Park fiasco, and he thought that's what it was about, except he has Secretary of State tags. So three APD cars stopped him, and then the guy came up and said, license and registration, and he said, you need to call the Secretary of State for that. And he said, what? He said, well, the reason we stopped, and Craig said the reason for the stop, and he said, because we haven't seen those tags before. And Craig said, well, the reason that we haven't seen those tags before is because this gives me diplomatic immunity, and I'm leaving now. And the guy said, what was the salient point that he said? He said, well, again, we just didn't know what those tags meant. And Craig said, what they mean is leave me alone.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, okay, you have a nice day.
Well, tell me how you obtained these, please.
You go down to the Instaprint or wherever and have them printed up. The tags that he's driving around with have his UCC-1 filing number on them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just said Secretary of State, UCC-1.
But if you're driving around with a car that has the state tags on it, that tells the state guys that that's a state car.
Okay.
So you have to get rid of the tags, and then, you know, you
and then the game begins.
Yeah, deal with it.
Well, I decided to get it to be a naturalized Indian and get my own Indian plate.
Well, now that's another
because
avenue.
They're sovereign, and you can go Canada, Mexico, whatever, and you can camp anywhere you want.
That's right. That's another avenue. That's a good avenue, actually.
Okay. Well, that's the way I'm going. But
that's good.
For the court order, is there any way of appealing it or challenging it?
I'm telling you what, it's a...
Now, they want you to take a psych evaluation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I want a trial by jury, and I don't want any representation, i.e. the bar members.
So he's crazy. This is what I've been saying. This happens time and time
again.
And
in their courts, he is crazy.
Because what happens is they can't hear you.
Well, if you look under U.S. versus or Boyd versus U.S., it'll say that they lose jurisdiction.
Well, that's good.
But... you convinced them of that now, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, wave Boyd versus U.S. in their face a few times and see. And,
well,
and
I've
then,
already done it.
Then report
they
to us after.
They just get mad at me all the time.
Well, then report to us after you get out of the loony bin, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks much.
All right. Oh, gosh. Going down this road, I mean, this has been my complaint. I've said this before. If you recognize the web that they have created, they don't even give you the opportunity to opt out and say that I don't want to play this game. And the state, why do they want to tie up their valuable resource when they can go to the next victim?
They don't want anybody slipping through the cracks. They want to have total, complete control over everybody. That's why they don't train their officers to see. There are no exceptions to their rules, in their humble opinion.
So, what do they import these guys from Nazi Germany or what?
No, I just think they find out the ones that kill animals when they're young, and those are the ones that get promoted.
What,
after
the law school of Hermann Göring or something? You know?
Absolutely.
Don in Ohio. Hello, Don.
Hello. Yeah, I've had my own problems with judges and stuff like that, especially here in Canton. Well, actually, just one time I was here in Canton as a probate judge. And, I mean, these people are so crooked. It is unbelievable.
I've been to Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Get out fast.
yeah, right.
It's no different anywhere else. It's all the same everywhere, but go ahead.
I wanted to file a suit with the Attorney General, State Attorney General. And they wouldn't hear it, and I tried to, do a writ of mandamus on that. And did you ever try a writ of mandamus, by the way?
Well, we've tried writs of mandamus. You name it, we've tried it. We've tried all the great writs.
Yeah. And, it's been pretty bad here. I mean, it's all over with now. But, the probate judge did die, which I was sort of happy about that, you know.
You celebrated.
Yeah, I did, actually. But, oh, man, I mean, Don.
Yeah, I've been around the bend with the probate court, escalated to a district court and done time in jail for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how you feel.
Well, my attorney that I hired, my aunt took over my grandma's, or she was the executor of my grandma's estate, and she wouldn't do anything. She wouldn't file for, any of the stuff that she needed to do and stuff like that to get, process the papers
right.
And stuff. And she took in 9 pit bulls into the house, and basically for 3 months they pissed and shit throughout the whole house.
Can't say that on the air, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They were not cleanly.
Doo-doo.
Yeah.
Well, the dog pound had to come and get them and took them out, and I had some dealings with the judge. Kept on sending him pictures and this and that of what all was going on. And I took her into court to get it, get her taking off the executorship and putting me into it so I can get some things done, because, I mean, she wasn't paying any of the bills or anything like that. And this judge, I went in there because my mom, well, it was my aunt and my mom were fighting on this and stuff like that. But the attorney I hired went and jumped sides, went over to my aunt's side, and when we were in court fighting it and stuff like that, it all came down to he was only letting us basically argue about one little item in the house, which was a snowblower, which, there's a lot of other things there, but he was basically saying, she could keep what she wants, even though everything was supposed to be split evenly.
Right, but the deal had already been stricken, and I mean, it happens all the time. I mean,
well,
it's the same story.
It took me 15 years and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to finally figure out the lawyers are not working for you.
Well, this judge did, he says, well, we're going to take a break. Let the aunt and my mom go into another room, talk about it, and see if they can get it straightened out, and then we'll come back and see what's up. Okay, so I'm waiting in the courtroom, And while they're in there talking and stuff, and the other attorney comes out, walks into that room, and shuts the door. You know, I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Excuse me. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? You know, he's not supposed to be in there. It's just supposed to be those two in there talking. And, you know, so I walked in there and said, you know, what's going on? Because you weren't supposed to be in here, you know what I mean? And he goes, well, you got to get out here right now. I'm going to call the bailiff on you and stuff. Okay, well, you know, I didn't really know a whole lot at the time and stuff. So, you know, I mean, I yelled at him a couple times. He yelled back a couple times. But, basically the judge left the room, let the attorney enter the room with the two people, you know, that, you know, and the attorney, you know, and I was left out of it. So they passed judgment and everything. The judge gave over his court to the attorney, the opposite attorney. Yeah.
He paid more than you did, Don. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
That guy paid more than you did.
Thanks, yeah. Don. Appreciate your call. You've got something before I take this last caller. You have an 800-page, and this was written specifically on the American Inns of Court. And who was this
Mercier
that wrote this?
Mercier wrote on the Inns of Court?
It was written by George Mercier, and it's called Invisible Contracts. And he was a federal judge who was dying of cancer.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't a judge?
No, he was a court administrator, which is a higher position than a judge.
Oh.
But he knew all the inside workings of the court, and he wrote an 800-page letter. It's called Invisible Contracts. It's by George Mercier. And it's really interesting reading.
And it's did you say 800 pages?
Yeah. 750, 800.
Okay. I hope you have a lot of paper and ink in your printers. I'm going to give you the address so you can download this for yourselves. So you ready to write, folks? worldnewsstand.net/law/invisible, little underscore there, contracts.htm. I'll read that one more time. worldnewsstand.net/law/invisible, little underscore there, contracts.htm.
Or you can just put Invisible Contracts in, or George Mercier, M-E-R-C-I-E-R.
That's how I found it.
And spell that again, George Mercier. How do you spell his name?
M-E-R-C-E-I-R.
And this is the guy that just spills the beans about all of this.
Right.
Yep.
He talks about the driver's licenses and all that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Social Security.
I'm printing out a copy of that before I leave here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fred in Philly, you're the last caller on this edition of the National Intel Report.
Hi, John.
Hi.
And I just wanted to say that the gentleman who said you can't get yourself out of the system once you're in, I think what people should understand is you can get relative privacy back. You can't get absolute privacy back, but you can definitely, if you try, get relative privacy back. You can pick your fights and win those fights that you do pick. And there's another thing I wanted to say is that the concept of just having a position and not pushing back is going to leave you vulnerable, like ivy on a building. It's eventually going to, you know, get in there and get in the cracks and weaken the side of that building. You have to have like a dynamic position that extends a little further than your right, so that other people know that you are guarding that right. It can't just be passive sort of a right.
You're right, but I don't believe that he meant you can't get out, because we really believe you can.
Yeah,
it's just very difficult. And you wanted to talk about petition.
Well, I think that what happens is I think that we're going to go. What we do is we've tried to put together a petition for peace and get people to sign up for peace. And as soon as the conclave meets and we get a new pope that we can talk to, we're going to go talk to him and see if he won't help us out.
It has to come from the Vatican, because it goes from the Vatican through the city of London to the United States, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, the Vatican has first lien on the world.
All right, Fred, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Petitionforpeace.net.
Petitionforpeace.net. That'll do it for us today. Desi Andrews, Rhett Peace, and our newest criminal on board, Dan Abood. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
Listening. Folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Paul, who are we going to have on tomorrow? What is it? Can't hear you. No. Whoever that lady was that called you today. Oh, on the Codex Alimentarius tomorrow.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.